Welcome to a new season of Conflict Coach with Dr. Emily Taylor. I'm a mediator, developmental psychologist, conflict resolution teacher, and mom of five. And just like you, I've had my fair share of conflict. Over time, I've realized conflict isn't something to fear. It's simply part of life. What matters is how we respond and if we have the tools to handle it with confidence and care. And that's what this podcast is all about. In each episode, you'll hear me coach someone through a real conflict they're facing. You'll listen as they share their story, and I'll guide them towards solutions that align with their goals and values. Along the way, I'll point out skills and strategies you can use in your own life, whether at work, at home, or in your other relationships. So whether you've been with us since season one or you're brand new, welcome. I'm glad you're here. Let's jump in. Today I'm coaching Spencer. He's in his mid-20s and has been at his current company for about a year and a half. It's a company he really likes and wants to work for, but he's begun to feel like his skills and contributions are not appreciated, and that's leading to conflict with his boss. Spencer, it's so great to have you on the show. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Can you describe, you know, in brief, what kind of conflict we're dealing with?
Yeah. In brief is the tough part.
I know.
I started out with like kind of lower, like position wise, planning on like working my way up. So I took a job that I knew I was maybe overqualified for. And the company I feel like I'm a really good fit for in terms of like their values and just ideas in general. However, over the past year and a half, I've just felt stuck. Despite having like dozens of conversations with a couple of HR reps, with like my manager, and overall, it's just felt kind of like a back and forth, and never really getting very far. So they have attributed that to me needing more structure than they provide. I've attributed it to I approach things maybe not in the best way initially, and that potentially created like a negative context.
Okay, so they brought you on in a way knowing you were overqualified. There was an expectation that you were going to be able to grow into something else sooner than a year and a half. Is that the idea?
Expectations may be too strong of a word. Like there was no like promises of any of that. It was more of like I knew the role I was in was not one I would want to be in long term. And they also knew that. And they also knew that my skills would probably take me to a different role. But timelines may have not been the same or something.
Okay, so there's been a mismatch. Mm-hmm. Backtracking a little bit, you said maybe I didn't approach this in the best way.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little, just kind of fill me in on what you mean by that?
I'm actually very grateful for this whole experience because the amount of like growth I've made as a person has been huge. So regarding like how I maybe didn't approach it the best way, before this job, I worked in the nonprofit sector for 3 years, and these are like smaller organizations, so very entrepreneurial minded. And I have a lot of energy and passion behind like my ideas. And in those jobs, that was encouraged. And the people I was working with, they were also like meeting me at that level, that like energy level. And so I brought all of that to this job. And overall, they're just like slower moving. And basically what ended up happening, I think, was I was maybe threatening a bit or just didn't allow enough space for other ideas or thoughts or opinions. And I'm used to people who have the same energy level. So we're like, you know, it is a dialogue.
There's a synergy rather than it being a threat.
Yes. However, from my conversation, and they've actually told me this directly, that like the tone that I have had sometimes is like difficult. And I've actually also had that feedback from my significant other. So I'm like, okay, it's not just this job. And I've actively worked on that and I've actively made progress. However, during that process, it was at least like several months of me bringing like this energy. And basically every HR meeting, like one-on-one meeting I had with them, it's supposed to be like a conversation that you have together where you explore like your future possibilities. But what it turned into for us was me saying like, this is what I want and this is what I need. And them saying, we can't do this or this, but let's try this.
Hey friends, I'm guessing you felt stuck somewhere in your life, maybe at work, maybe in a relationship or a volunteer position, wanting a change, feeling capable of more, but unable to get to that new space. Spencer is in this spot largely because he took a job he knew he was overqualified for, but hoped it would be a path to something more. That's understandable, but it's also risky because there's a very real chance that your expectations and those of your employer don't line up perfectly. And mismatched expectations are a recipe for conflict. So I'd like you to think about a skill I'll call expectation alignment. Before you take a new job, sign up for a new responsibility, or enter into a new relationship, do an inventory of your expectations. What does this new situation need in order for me and the other party to be successful? How likely are you to have those expectations met within a time frame that will satisfy you? What will you do if it takes longer for your expectations to be met? The truth is, no matter how well aligned you and your employer or partner seem to be, a period of mismatched expectations is almost inevitable. So the skill of expectation alignment requires being clear about your expectations going into a situation and being alert to the inevitable mismatch of expectations when it arises, so you can address it before it explodes into unproductive conflict. Spencer has spent months now feeling underappreciated and mistreated at work because his employers have expectations that are so different from his own. The question now is, can they negotiate to bring their expectations into alignment? Let's get back to the session and see.
I'm wanting to do work that is more like strategic, work that's more focused on communication, more focused on people, and ideally has like some level of manager, like managerial type of work. Those are things that I'm looking for, things that I feel like I would excel at, things that I feel like would equal better pay. That being said, they have brought up in the past in our conversations that they feel like I want a faster progress and that no matter what role I fill, I won't feel that it's moving fast enough. So if you were to ask them, they would say that I probably still wouldn't appreciate my time there just because of how slowly things move.
Did that bother you?
It makes sense, but also I'm very happy to like float around in my role for, you know, some time and let it develop. But if they're expecting like, I don't know, 3 to 5 years without any progress in like a role, like, yeah, I don't know who would be happy with that. But they have people, so I don't know. They have been trying to get me to be happy with my current role so that like, and then from that place, explore like future, like progress and stuff like that. And because I've been kind of been doing it like their way with air quotes of just being like, here's what I've been figuring out. Here's what I've been doing in my role. Not trying to actively do something else. My HR rep was like, I see like potential paths for you now. But part of me is like, this was so many like hoops and bending over backwards just to get anywhere. Like I felt like it was a positive response.
But you don't respect the stuff that you had to do to get there?
Well, it's like in my, I feel like.
That's fine. Just be honest. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what do you think?
In my opinion,
was it dumb?
Like it's and it's it really is like more of an attitude thing than it is like a like physically like doing anything. But like I feel like if I have to craft so many things about the way I talk, my tone, like my like if I have to craft so many things just so you can have a positive experience with me, I feel it feels like a lot of work to just get them to like be functional in their role, where I'm like, I feel like a good manager is going to be able to work with multiple people and is going to know how to work with people of different personalities and different attitudes and different energy levels.
Spencer, so, have you had to morph yourself during this? I've heard you say there's good things.
Yes.
There have been some good changes.
Definitely good changes.
But I'm hearing you when you're talking about this right now that you're like, dude, like this, I shouldn't have to change all these things about myself mm-hmm. when I'm at work.
I got this feeling of like I rolled over and showed my belly type of feeling where I'm like, yes, this is working, but I've had to like succumb to the business gods in order for this to work, where it's like you have to like completely give yourself up to like, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. So this is always interesting too, like in a conflict just where it's like, it's like a negotiation, right? It's yes. back and forth.
Yeah.
And it seems like this point that we're talking about right now, mm-hmm. this was too much.
Yeah.
I mean, for you to use the example of rolling over,
yeah.
that doesn't yeah. sound like
it's not empowering.
Where you want to be.
It's not empowering.
It sounds like the opposite.
Yeah.
It's, true?
Yes.
Do you feel unempowered?
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel unempowered. I feel stuck. I feel frustrated. I am very grateful for the things that I've learned and for the changes that I've learned, because I am going to have to interact with lots of different people. But yeah, for me to have to do so much over the course of a year and a half to get like a step or two forward, it just feels like it's probably
it doesn't merit that kind of effort.
Yeah.
I think that's a really important point is like, mm-hmm. again, we were talking about conflict, like how much am I willing to give up what I have to get? It sounds like you've had this goal and you've had little enticements. I don't know if you know the psychology of random gifts, like random rewards keeps people going the longest.
Yeah.
It's kind of like gambling where it's like you get it occasionally and you're like, ooh, yes. I really like doing that discussion. That was awesome.
And I've had that. Like, for example, like part of my brain is like, maybe the issue is like my ADHD and my ability to just like initiate. Like maybe, like for example, one of my coworkers is doing really well, and they kind of just do whatever. They kind of just do their thing, and they seem happy with them. But it's almost like when I ask for permission to like do stuff, that's where like the issues come up. But also, part of me is like, if communicating with you stuff that I want to do creates roadblocks, that doesn't feel very, like, helpful.
You've adjusted, mm-hmm. but then there's a certain point where you're like, I don't have to adjust all the time because you want me to be this certain way.
Yeah.
Like, did we find a boundary? Like, with the manager kind of saying, like, you have to do this all the time?
It's more of like, I think it's like for the person and the attitude that I have to be in order to be successful at this job, that's not the person or the attitude that I want to have.
Okay. Right?
Yeah.
Which I think is actually, it's kind of like, I think of, I'm funny, but I have had lots of jobs. I actually think of it a little bit more like dating.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm going to like go in, I'm going to see what the landscape's like, I'm going to see what the people are like. But it sounds like the most important part is, what am I like in this? Does this job enhance who I am?
Who do I become in this job, and do I like that person?
Yeah.
I love that.
It doesn't mean I'm going to love everything about the job, but if I feel like I'm a phony or I'm having to act like someone that I'm not, that's probably, it's not sustainable. Like, I'm going to bail at some point, right?
Yeah.
Hey friends, it makes perfect sense to change how you act at work when it helps improve how your team functions. Adapting your behavior can be really helpful in a lot of situations outside the workplace too. It's important to be mindful of your boundaries though. Know your limits. Be careful to not extend yourself into territory that feels compromising. Next time you're in a situation that requires effort outside of your comfort zone, ask yourself if it is actually in your best interest. Or will it damage your mental health, compromise your values, or sense of identity? These situations may not be entirely unavoidable, but it's important to know how to recognize them. Talking with Spencer, it seems like he's reached a point where the requirements to advance are not acceptable to him. So now he's looking to move on, but he's worried about having the same thing happen again at his next job. So I'm going to share with him a skill that's really helpful to address that. In this next portion of our conversation, I'll be guiding Spencer through our third skill, creating a positive personal narrative. Essentially, I'll be helping him take what he's learned from both his positive and negative experiences at this job and combining those lessons with the goals he wants to set for the future. Let's jump back in.
What I want to figure out is, let's say the next job that I work at, I don't want to have like the same experience again. And that's kind of like, what am I able to do to avoid that and learn the most I can from this experience?
Sure. What are you bringing with you that you didn't have before you worked for this company? Because it sounds like you have gained some things.
I have.
And you've learned some things about yourself and about other people. But what are those, I guess maybe like an assets focus, like the strengths focus of like, hey, I've had, like, this has been a mixed bag. There's been good and bad. But what are the things you're going to bring with you to the next place?
A much stronger understanding of what my strengths are. It's very helpful to be in a physical environment. It's very helpful to be in an environment where I'm walking around, where I'm talking with all sorts of people. I do enjoy the customer interface. I'm like known in like not just my team, but like teams that like work alongside us for like being good with customer experience and good with communication, to the point where if there's a customer issue, if I'm working, people will like look for me and like ask me to handle it.
And you've enjoyed that. I can see from your face. You're smiling. You're you like this about yourself.
Oh yeah. I love it. And there was this time we had a customer who unfortunately made inappropriate comments about one of my coworkers like a couple weeks ago. And my manager was like, hey, if he shows up again, we need to let him know that he's not welcome here and like we're refusing his service. And so he shows up and I was like really, everyone obviously they came to me like, hey, the guy's here. And I was so excited. I was also scared in my mind, but I was so excited to like go talk to this guy and have like be like, hey, and like use all my communication skills. And so, and my coworker was like, you should like record it so that we can use it like for trainings. So I actually have it recorded, which is pretty fun. But like that was super exciting for me. And I've learned about myself that even when I'm like dead tired, if I'm talking with someone, I will always be able to like communicate well generally. And it's been really, that's been a really good one to learn, because there's a lot of jobs where like, if I'm really tired, I'm not going to be able to do it.
But the speaking part, is it energizing to you?
Yes. Communicating with people, sitting down with someone, having a discussion, I can do that anytime. So I don't know what job that is.
But well, that, I think though, like, especially in any conflict, narrowing down the things that are like really important, it's more like a principle.
Yeah.
You're like, I want to be compensated and have a role that acknowledges this part of me, right?
Yes. Instead of me just being like an associate who happens to be good at these things, I want those things to be my role.
Yes. What about, what are you going to look for in a manager?
Well, and I think I can look back to my, to previous people who have supervised me and be able to identify traits in those people that have like worked. And like looking at the past like three supervisors I've had that have worked, they are people who want and encourage like independence. They want me to craft the role. The thing that's been missing from those, however, is an applied structure. And that's why like while I've enjoyed my time in the in those previous like jobs and internships and stuff, I was just needing more structure because it was difficult for like my ADHD and stuff.
Okay.
And I think that's why I kind of like maybe went to the other side of the pendulum a bit with this job a little bit.
The reality was a lot of structure, but not very much freedom to be creative.
It was like structure in all the unhelpful ways.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So I think this is, I mean, what you're getting at is brilliant, is like, you already have, you take your previous experiences, and that's like creating a real narrative. It's like, it's not just this one job. It's like all this stuff collectively. Mm-hmm. I need to, you know, have people believe in me, have ideas that matter. But I really need structure, but structure that enhances my ability to be creative and be independent.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you know yourself a lot better now after this year and a half than you did before. And it's, that's, again, a narrative of progress is weaving these things together.
Yeah, I love that. And it's actually made me think about a job I recently applied for. Where, like talking with a friend who works for this other job, he was saying that they are very rigid with their structures and it's very top down. And that's probably a sign that I wouldn't do well there. I'm probably going to need, maybe those are jobs to avoid as well. So maybe I should like I want to do this. Like, I want to go home right now and like create a list of like, what are the attributes and values that I'm looking for in my manager and in the job that I'm applying for? Because they often ask, do you have any questions for us? And I was like, no, but I should. Because like, you know, maybe I'm a great fit for them, but I need to know if they're a great fit for me.
Thank you so much, Spencer, for being here. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
So listeners, I know you're probably not in Spencer's precise situation, but maybe you've got a child or young relative floundering a bit in a job. So hopefully some of what we covered will be helpful in that way. But the skills we discussed during the session do apply broadly. So let's go over those again here. First is the skill of expectation alignment. No situation turns out exactly as we expect it to, whether it's a job or a relationship or even a vacation. Sometimes the mismatch becomes evident quickly, like it did with Spencer, who realized soon after being hired that his hopes for advancement were quite different from his boss's. And in those cases, the best option may be to sever ties and move on. But in our most important relationships, the ability to recognize when our expectations are out of sync and get them back into alignment is critical. When a conflict erupts in a relationship, consider what you're expecting of the other person. Then ask yourself where that expectation comes from and how important it is to you. Is the expectation rooted in past experience? Is it something you've negotiated with the other person previously? Are you open to adjusting your expectation in order to reduce friction in the relationship? Once you're clear about what you expect and why, invite the other person to have a conversation with you. Use some of the skills we've covered in previous episodes to find the right time, place, and tone for the conversation. Express your desire to get back into alignment in the relationship and use the fundamentals of nonviolent communication to express your needs. I'll put a link to that resource in today's show notes. Third is the skill of creating a positive personal narrative of the conflict. When things have gone badly in a situation, it's tempting to think in negative terms along the lines of, here's everything that went wrong and how I'll make sure those things don't happen next time. A better way to achieve what you'd like in the future is to transform past challenges into clear goals and desired outcomes. Start by reflecting on what you learned and what frustrated you in the conflict. Then reframe those from negative statements into positive ones, like turning "my ideas were ignored" into "I want to work somewhere where my contributions are valued." Next, make it concrete and actionable. Decide what you'll do differently, not just what you want to avoid. And finally, check that it aligns with your values and long-term goals, so your next steps build both success and satisfaction. Thanks for joining me today. If there's someone in your life who might benefit from listening to this episode, please share it. Because as I always say, it's not a question of if, but when we're going to experience conflict, and we do much better when we're prepared. The Conflict Coach with Dr. Emily Taylor is a BYU radio podcast. I'd love to connect with you on social media. Find me on Facebook and Instagram at Conflict Coach with Dr. Emily, where I'm sharing more ideas for working through conflict. And if you or someone you know has a conflict that you'd like to discuss on the podcast, send me an email to conflictcoach@byu.edu. And next time, I'll be coaching Naomi, who is navigating a difference of religious belief with her father. I hope you'll join me.